Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services at the Kerwin Baptist Church located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Turn to Psalm 25 tonight, and I believe the Lord wants me to just talk to you a little bit tonight about having godly guidance in life. I like the statement Jesus said, "I will guide thee with mine eye." There's ever been a need when we need, ever been a day that we need God's guidance in our lives? It's certainly the day and the hour we're living in today. I don't know how many times I've heard people say this, not just pastors, but individuals just in the past 30 days, much less the last year or two. They're saying things like, "I have never seen a day like this in my life. I've never seen a time when God's people are under so much stress, when Satan is working on people the way and the manner in which he is. I've never seen it like that." Do you know why people are saying that? Because it's never been like this before. We're living in the end time when Satan is literally knows his days are numbered and he's let go everything he has, and God's allowing him a little bit more to do that. Thessalonians says, "He that letteth," or "who hinders or controls, he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the world." And so he's holding back and restraining Satan and all his power and program to a point. But God is allowing some of that, obviously, to go. And we see the actual setting up of the end time right today in our very headlines and news and whatever. So I believe with all my heart we're living in the closing days of God's grace. I want to finish well, don't you? I don't want to stumble at the finish line. And I don't want to mess up on the journey. I want to be able to finish well. I hope every one of you will have that. In order to do that, then we're going to have godly guidance day by day. As a fall is not something so far down the road. A fall is in the 24-hour period for any of us if we let the devil enter our mind, enter our thoughts, and that sort of thing. So I think this is interesting reading right here where we are. Psalm number 22. God is using David to talk about the cross, Christ and the cross. Psalm 23, he's talking about the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So the Christ that died at the cross made it possible to be our shepherd. And then in Psalm 24, he's the crowned king, the Lord of lords and King of kings. And verse 20 said he's the King of glory. Now, right behind all of that great truth, the Spirit of God uses David to write again about this matter of godly leadership and guidance in our lives. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us tonight. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over us, this place, and in Jesus' name we ask you to give me the words that need to be said, the encouragement to our hearts, and Father, I'm so grateful that you're a God that's willing to guide us and direct us through and by and around the pitfalls of life, the satanic traps that are set before us. We pray for your help and guidance. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Before I read the text tonight, I want to give you a true story illustration. I won't call the names because all of you know the pastor this happened to, so start guessing. But anyway, there was a pastor some years ago, and at that point in time, like many of us pastors did, we worked on our job and supported ourselves until the congregation was large enough and the funds were sufficient that we could take the church full time. And I don't know how many pastors in this general area started their ministry like that. But anyway, this was one of those men, and he was in his home, and one evening around 8 o'clock, the phone rang. And it was a woman from his church that he pastored. And she was giving him all this sad story, and she said, "Pastor, I know you work, I understand that, but I've just got to see you. You've just got to come by, leave early enough to come by in the morning and talk to me and pray with me." And he said, "All right." She said, "Could you come by about 7 o'clock? He went to work at 8. He said, "All right, I'll come by." He said, "When I hung the phone up," he said, "God don't talk to you out loud, but," he said, "it wouldn't have been any more real to me if he had. He just said, 'Son, you take your wife with you in the morning.'" And he said, "I walked in the living room. My wife was in there sewing some buttons on some clothes. And he said, 'Honey, I don't know what's going on, but I've got to go to this house in the morning. And God just told me to take you with me. So you'll have to go, and I'll bring you back home before I go to work.' So the next morning they got up and had breakfast, got ready and dressed, and they drove over to the house, got there about 7 o'clock. So he told his wife, said, I'll go to the door and be sure they're up and everything, and then I'll come and get you. So he knocked on the door, and this woman opened the door with nothing on but a sheer negligee and said, come in. He said, my wife is in the car. I'll go and get her while you dress. We'll wait for you in the living room. So he went and got his wife and came in. She came back later, and she couldn't think of anything to say and couldn't quite decide what her problem was. And about that time, her husband, who was supposed to have been to work an hour ago, walked in the back door. Now, you go figure. Somebody's getting ready to kill a preacher. Somebody's going to destroy a preacher. You know why that didn't happen? Because there was godly guidance in that man's life to guide him around and across from the pitfalls Satan will set up. Boy, I want that. How about you? I don't know what the devil's got laid out for me next week. I want a God that knows before I ever get there. He knows what the devil's doing, and he can guide us around that and through that and across that, where we don't have to face those things that could be damaging and could be destructive to our influence and our testimony. I'm glad that the same God that saves us is the God that's guiding us and helping us step by step and day by day along life's earthly journey. Here in Psalm 25, he said, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. That's a good idea. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. This was just part of this great psalm that God used David to write down. But I just picked a few things for a brief message tonight that has not a brief message. It's brief in time, but it's a profound thought to think about God leading us day by day. You know, when God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, they didn't have a GPS. Moses didn't have a printed map how they're going. God said, you just get them out of there, Moses, and follow me, and I'll take you. And so they got out of there, and just almost immediately, they come to the Dead Sea in front of them, Red Sea rather, and a mountain on either side of them, and here comes Pharaoh and his army behind them. Well, here the Jews go, bellyaching and griping and fussing. Yeah, here we are. We all just died in Egypt. You drug us out here. Now we're going to be buried in the desert. Hey, if you're dead, what difference does it matter where they bury you? But anyway, they're fussing about that. And, you know, Moses, he was frustrated. He thought, Lord, what am I going to do? You told me to go get them. I've come the way you said. He said, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God split that water wide open. You know, some of these people want to explain whether the miracles of the Bible are plumb funny. They said, well, that wasn't the Red Sea. It was the Reed Sea. It was only ankle deep in water. I said, glory to God. What a miracle that Pharaoh and all of his army drowned in ankle deep water. What a miracle. But anyway, they went across on dry land. Now you think about, look how thorough God is with his miracles. If he just shot the water back and they walked across in the mud, I said, that's great. The water just stand up. No, they didn't even get their sandals wet. Walked across on dry ground that had been under the water for God knows how many years. Got out on the other side. Pharaoh and his army side did do that. But that was the end of them. And God crushed the water in on top of them. They all died. And you see how they got hungry. And God fed them. He said, don't worry about your meals. They'll be laying on the ground waiting on you in the morning when you get up. Said, now just take what you need tomorrow. Don't try to save it up. It'll spoil, it'll stink, and you won't like it. And some of them had to find that out the hard way. And he said, now on the sixth day, you can take enough for the seventh, and that way you don't have to gather it on the Sabbath day. How God guided them and directed them. Last time I checked this book, it said, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not, says the Lord. There's no variable, there's no shadow of turning in me. So the God we're serving right tonight, this December day in 2011 is the same God that led Moses to lead the people out, led them eventually all the way into the promised land, and the same God that led Mary and Joseph down to Bethlehem, and the same God that led the early apostles and epistles and preachers to where they should preach and took care of them in and out of their troubles. And like when they were put in the jail in Philippi, God just tore the jailhouse down, jerked the foundation out from under it. They was having a sing-spiration at midnight, singing and praising God. And brother, that's okay when everything is good, but these guys had been beaten, as we say in the country, they've been beaten to a pulp. And they were in a terrible physical state, stocked down in a dirty, nasty, stinking, filthy old jail cell. Most of us have been griping and fussing. I probably would have. What about you? Just complaining about that? Here we are trying to serve God. Look what's happened to us. But instead, they're singing and glorifying God, thanking Him for the privilege to serve Him and to suffer for Him. God said, I'm not having that. He just jerked the jailhouse down. God can take care of His people. You believe that? God can take care of His own family. So all of our worrying and fretting and so many times can be solved by just trusting and accepting Him and letting Him lead us. Let Him guide us. He said, I'll guide you with mine eye. So He can see the future. I can't see that. Like that night of that story I just told you about a preacher that happened. That's many years ago. And yet that man walked with God and does to this day. And the God that was leading him and guiding him led him as to how to avoid a pitfall. I don't think he would have fallen into sin. I think he was getting ready to be falsely accused is what I'm talking about. And how God prevented that from really happening. I had a situation that I think was similar to that some years ago myself. There was a woman came to our church, and that was been a long time ago, so don't start guessing who she was. But anyway, she came to our church, and she had to counsel, wanted me to counsel with her when she first got here. And I wasn't at all happy with the way that went. I thought she was more or less trying to influence me than she was trying to tell me her problems. I had my wife close by. I said, honey, just wait right here. I'll leave this door cracked while I talk to this woman a little bit. If it got worse, I'm going to holler, help, honey, come and get me. But anyway, I was kind of on guard with her. And so she told me once, said, I want you to come and talk to my husband. He needs the Lord. He needs to be saved. I said, all right, what time does he get home? He said, he gets home about 5 o'clock. I said, all right, I'll be over there about 6. And so I came by the house, and I didn't see his car there. I knocked on the door, and she opened the door and said, come on in. I said, your husband in yet? She said, no, but he should be here just any time. Just come on in. I'm cooking supper. I said, you know, I've got really a lot of places I need to go. I just don't go in the house with women. Never have. Don't plan to start now. And so I said, I've got a lot of places I need to go visit. I'll check back by after a while. I came back by 3 times. That man's car never was there. At 9 o'clock, it still wasn't there. I'm going to tell you, you better have God guide you in the world you're living in. He'll rip your heart apart. He'll tear your home apart. He'll tear your family apart. He'll send you down a trail of heartache and disaster. And so I'm glad that we have a God that can give us some things. And David realized that. He said, I really need God to help me. And there are 3 things that he said here in the verse I just want to share with you real quickly tonight. First of all, he said, show me thy ways, O Lord. Show me thy ways. You know, today's society has a lot to offer us. We've got a godless society, if you want to go in that direction. We've got a self-seeking society. We've got a sinful pursuit you can go after. We've got satanic worship you can get involved in. You've got the influence of liberal universities and colleges that's showing up all over our country. You know, I'm probably chasing a rabbit right here a little bit. But if you'll notice, it's the same crowd that's involved in all this stuff. They're the save the whale crowd, kill the babies crowd. They're the crowd, you know, that are against this and for that. They're the ones that up and down the streets. They're the ones leaving the parks like a trash dump. And these are all graduates of universities. Hello? There's better shape than that before they went. They had more sense than that going before they went in a classroom. One of our young people went to class recently. And the professor said to them, how many of you are Christians? And several raised their hand among a member of our church. He said, you might want to withdraw from this class because if you stay in here a semester, I don't think you'll be one anymore. That's what we're paying to have taught to our kids in a liberal universities. And that stuff is just getting all over our country. And that's where all this stuff is coming from. So we got all these things that we can do. But David is praying, Lord, I don't want to be self-centered. I don't want to be self-willed. I don't want to run my own life. I don't want to plan my own future. I want you to show me and guide me the way I should go. So he's praying for God to give him guidance and help him. How can you and I have that kind of guidance? Well, I think, one, we can pray about that just like David did. We can pray and ask God to guide us day by day. God, guard me. You know, there are people all over this auditorium tonight that are vulnerable in a degree. Our young people, they're here. The devil wants every one of them to marry wrong, divorce in 2 years or less. He wants the homes of us that are married, just like Jacob and his sweet wife right here, and this beautiful couple. At least one of them are. And, you know, nothing would thrill the devil more than wreck that sweet marriage right there in just a few years. And, you know, none of us are safe. Do you hear me? And we need the guidance and the help of God. Well, how in the world am I going to get that? Well, one is to spend time in prayer. I mean, get so close to God, he can talk to you. He said, does God talk to you? Sure he does. Don't he talk to you? He said, well, did he talk out loud? No, he'd scare me to death if he did. But he whispers to my soul. And he talks to me from his word. You ever just get your Bible and start reading it, and the Holy Ghost will slip up there close to you and say, look here, look at that verse right there. You know what that means right there? And next thing you know, you're studying a verse and things are starting to come out and you see and realize you never knew before. And that's because the author of the Bible lives in your heart. And so by praying and reading the Bible and seeking after spiritual, godly guidance and help, that's one of the best ways we can get it. And then day by day, trusting God for directions. Many years ago, there's a Bible teacher named, what was his name? That Fred may have had it and just left when I started to say that. I'll think out in a minute. But he was one of the most praying men I ever knew. When he went to heaven, he was at a little small mobile home behind his house was his study. And he'd go out behind the house every morning. He'd have breakfast with his wife. Say, I'm going out and study and pray a while. And he'd come in for lunch. And he didn't come in that day. And she went to check on him. And he was laying with his head just laying over face in the Bible. He'd been reading and praying and studied and just slipped out while he was out there reading the Word and fellowshipping with God. Went to be of the Lord. Hancock was his name. What a great Bible teacher he was. So many times I've been around him and you'd ask a question that really you think, man, I don't understand that. What does this mean? How is that? And you'd say, Brother Hancock, what does that mean? And he'd say, well, and he'd just start talking. And when he got through talking, you'd think, well, that was so simple. I felt like I asked a dumb question. It wasn't a question dumb, but he was so versed in the book, he could make it seem so simple that anybody could grasp his explanations for him. And what a way to go and what a way to live. He just walked with God, and God guided his life right on into heaven. I think we need to recognize the importance of our prayer life, our Bible reading, our dedication, our commitment, our serving God, our asking him for constant leadership and direction. The Scripture says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, in Proverbs 3:6. So first of all, David is saying, I need the guidance of God, so Lord, I want you to show me the things of God, he says. Then the second thing in verse 4, he said, not only show me thy ways, O Lord, but he said, teach me thy paths. You know, in Psalm 119, it talks about our path being lighted. It says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. We were talking about that just recently. I don't remember if he's here out at the banquet yesterday, but they had sandals. They didn't have big lights like we have today. They didn't have flashlights, and the ever-ready bunny hadn't been invented yet. But they had those little olive oil burning lamp, little small clay lamp fastened to both sandals, and a little teeny flame coming out of both sides, both lamps, and they had enough light to see to take one step. That gave enough light to take the next step, and that gave enough light for the next step. And what an illustration the psalmist is saying, that your word is to my life to help me to take every step that I need to take in the light of God's word. And then it said, he not only lights our step, but he lights our pathway. Meaning when the whole journey is done, we look back and the whole path was lit up, but just lit up one step at a time. How important it is that we honor God and search his word that we might know that. It said, teach me thy paths. If we're willing to be learn, we can learn. If we're self-centered and self-determined, we're not willing to listen, it's hard for us to learn from God. But we can receive his guidance if we're willing and teachable. God's paths can only be found from God's holy and inspired word. I'm not smart enough, and I don't know the Bible well enough to prove what I'm going to say. but I know I found answers in my life in it. And I believe that any and every issue of life, God has an answer for it somewhere between Genesis and Revelation. And the only way we're going to get that is to spend enough time reading this book that we know it back and forth. You know, I've had people say, how many verses of Scripture can you quote? Honestly, I don't know. I'd say maybe 3 or 4. But whenever you're preaching and verses come to your mind, and many times I've started quoting a verse, and I think, I don't know if I know this or not. And I've already started quoting it, and you find out you do know it. And when trouble comes up or something happens in life, you think of a verse. You think of something you've read that if somebody said, can you quote whatever, you probably couldn't have. At least I couldn't. But when the time comes, you need the content of that verse, the Holy Ghost will bring that verse back to your mind. And you'll think about it and you remember that. And God constantly helps us. In John 14, verse 26, it said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send, and he has sent, that was prior to Pentecost, in my name he shall teach you all things, and listen to this, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The only way he can bring that to your remembrance, you've got to read it. You've got to have read it. It's got to be harbored in your mind. Sometimes if someone starts reading the Bible, you can tell how familiar you are with the Word of God by, as they read, see how much of that you identify with that looking at your Bible. In your mind, you're just reading along with them. Now, I couldn't quote every verse they're reading, but I know what the next sentence is and what the next sentence is and what the next verse is and the content of it. I'm not trying to brag on myself because I'm nothing to be bragged on. I'm just saying we need to be so versed in this book that its thoughts and its truths penetrate our heart, our soul, our mind. And so when we need the help of God, the Holy Ghost can remind us of a truth in the Bible that'll give us the guidance and the help that we need at that moment. He's teaching us and leading us and guiding us in the way we should go. And then the third thing he said in verse 5, he said, lead me in thy truth. Teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all day long. Lead me in thy truth. Lead me in the paths of righteousness, the psalmist is saying. You know, a world filled with false doctrines and ungodliness and immorality of every description. I said to Dorcas just not long ago, we were riding in the car and just talking, and I said, you know, we've just about come to a place in America that American people, by and large, have lost the capability of blushing. We've just about got to the place that we can't be embarrassed about anything. We've always had problems. All the way back to the early Bible days, you read of things that happened in the society. It happened when I was young people growing up, young person, it happened through the years. But it used to be people were ashamed of the things they did. And they're scared to death somebody'd find out about it. Now they're not only not ashamed, they'll get on national wide television and brag about it. And they're made as some sort of a miniature god because of their immoral lifestyle. The Hollywood stars have sure proved that truth to be true. And they're just constantly into something, marrying and divorcing and living it like dogs. And I said, you know, if that's what it takes to make a lot of money, I'm glad I don't have it. I wouldn't want it to control me like that. Well, I'm getting back to my text here. He said, lead me in the truth. So in the midst of false doctrines and false religion and false things and all the problem we've got, how desperately we need the truth. The truth. I remember years ago, and I told this story, but it just seems to fit here. Pardon me for using it again. But an FBI agent had been sent to another state for 2 weeks to study counterfeit money. He had been gone 2 weeks. He came back to one of his buddies and said, how did it go? He said, good. He said, you think you'd recognize counterfeit money now? He said, I believe I would. He said, well, tell me, what do you think you'd recognize first? Is it the paper or the ink or the print? He said, well, it's hard to say. It could be either one of those things. He said, well, the counterfeit money you looked at, what did you see first that made you know it was counterfeit? He said, we didn't look at any counterfeit money. He said, you've been to counterfeiting school for 2 weeks and didn't even look at any counterfeit money? He said, that's right. He said, what did you do? What did you study? He said, we studied real money. Anything I see it's not real, I'll know it's counterfeit. Now, let me tell you something, church. You don't need to go down to the bookstore tomorrow and get you a book on what everybody believes. You'll be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo when you get through reading that stuff. You don't need to care what people think and what people believe and what their doctrines are and what their practices are. You don't even need to care about that. Just know truth. Know the truth. Anything's not truth is error. You don't have to worry about what it is. Just make sure you know the truth. And the truth is in this book. God is a God of truth, and He's given it to us. The Spirit of God lives in the hearts of all of us who are born again by the grace of God, and He'll certainly guide us into all truth. John 16, verse 13, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He shall show you things to come." What a blessing to have the Spirit of God to show us, to teach us, and to lead us in this day that we live in today. I wonder this evening, do you know the Lord? Do you really? I hope you do, and I believe you do, but you answer that in your own heart. Do you really know the Lord? Does His Spirit live in your heart? I think one of the things that is played way down unintentionally in modern-day Christianity is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's one of it's far underestimated and unvalued in the life of most Christian people. That the Spirit of God lives in our heart, comes in the moment we're saved. Some people think it comes as a second blessing, and that's okay. They got it whether they understand it or not. They're saved, the Holy Ghost lives there. The Bible says in Romans, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That pretty well settles that, doesn't it? And so the moment you get saved, the Spirit of God comes into your heart. He's there to seal you. He's there to guide you, to teach you. He's there to help you. But oh, how often we ought to recognize how often every day in our life that God is with us. He's in our heart, in our lives. He's present there. You get an automobile. I started to tell you about the man that, a while ago, that had so much faith that I was talking about a moment ago. I never saw him put a key in a car. Just he got ready to put his key in the switch. He would pray. I don't think he did it for a show. He'd say, "Lord, now put your angels around this car and keep us safe as we travel," before he ever stuck that key in the switch. And just simple things like that. Oh, how many times God has provided ways and protected us from dangers we didn't even know that existed. How important it is that we have His guidance. David said, "Lord, I sure do need Your help. I need You to guide my life. I need You to show me. I need You to teach me. And I need You to lead me." I'd like to say, I need that too, David. And I'd like to say it to the Lord. Lord, I need that too. As we started tonight with talking about the pastor, that it seemed to me that a plan was set to destroy his reputation. In the world we live in today, you're guilty by accusation. You don't have to do a thing. If I counseled some woman at our office and she went out and told someone that I said things or made advances to her, I'm guilty. It doesn't matter what I did. I might have been as pure as a driven snow, but people say, I knew he'd do that. I knew it. That's the kind of preacher he was. I knew he'd do that. That's the world we live in today. So you can't afford to be falsely accused. You don't only not need to be guilty. You can't afford to be put in a place where you can be accused. God calls it abstaining from all appearance of evil. Now, if you're honest tonight, you're not smart enough to look down the road ahead of you and protect your own self from all those pitfalls and things. If you're going to be guided round and past and victorious over all the devil's going to sit out there to misguide, misdirect, and to destroy your influence and on whatever else he desires, then if that's going to be the case, then we're going to have somebody to show us. We have to have somebody to teach us and somebody to guide us. And that someone is the Holy Ghost of God, which if you're saved, you already have. Would you just make up your mind tonight, I'm going to be closer to the Spirit of God. I'm going to talk to Him more.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from the broadcast. Our church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kerwinbaptistchurch.com. Our service times are Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 10:45 on Sundays and 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday evening. Also on Wednesdays, we have our midweek prayer service at 7 and the Awana Clubs for our children. Thank you for listening to the Kerwin Broadcast today. God bless you.